Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
We have in America an elaborate judicial system to protect the rights of the accused with checks on government power. It oversees the arrest, trial, and sentencing of citizens who become criminal defendants in America. And it is that system that is responsible for the more than 2.5 million people behind bars. But who decides on parole for those convicts? Who sets the terms of release for the more than 4.8 million people on probation or parole? It turns out that it is the 50 state parole boards across the country, each with their own rules, and in more than half the states with nearly unlimited power over who gets out of prison, when, and why. Tom Grant is a former New York State Parole Board member from 2004 to 2010 who, along with Beth Schwartzapfel of the Marshall Project, undertook a month-long investigation into parole and criminal justice reform. The findings have been published by the Washington Post. Reporter Schwartzapfel says one way to think about a parole hearing is to think of it as a constitution-free zone.
As a general rule, there are no due process rights in front of a parole board, and that's because courts have found that prisoners who go before a parole board don't have what's called a liberty interest. And since they're not already free, they don't have any freedom to lose. And by not having freedom to lose, they lose the due process rights that come with the risk of losing your freedom.
Is there anything in the parole system, Tom, in your experience, which would prevent something like somebody who works in the corrections department has a vendetta against a particular prisoner for something that has nothing to do with their behavior and wants to make sure this fella never gets out on parole, to prevent that sort of thing from being abused? Is there anything like that? Or can somebody just make a phone call and basically their parole will be denied?
Well, interestingly, in New York, just to digress a little bit, the state legislature has generally been very reluctant to enact statutes or pass statutes and have the governor sign them relative specifically to parole. A lot of parole policies and regulations in New York are the result of court cases filed by inmates and their attorneys expressing a concern about examples such like you just gave, where you'd have a guard or a corrections officer put something in a parole applicant's file that could negatively impact their appearance before the parole board. It would be a report, say a misbehavior report, which would go through the correction system, which would indicate that an inmate or a parole board applicant has not done very well inside from a behavior point of view.
And I will say in some states, you will get letters both from corrections officials and also from politicians. I know, for instance, in Alabama, the governor, the attorney general, a lot of the elected officials in that state are known to write letters in opposition to parole. And the parole board members told me personally that those letters carry great weight, even if those people don't have any personal knowledge of that particular case. And I will also say this is why transparency matters so much, that in 25 states, the contents of the file, basically the records, the letters and things the board uses to make its decision, are not open to the public. And in 19 states, they're not even open to the inmate himself.
Are there any objective criteria for what constitutes a approval for parole? You're being approved because of X, Y, and Z. Is it like that?
A lot of states now do have parole guidelines, but they're almost always advisory. So the board is free to depart from those guidelines for almost any reason.
The interpretation of the criteria can even vary among different parole panels within a state. You might come before, as an offender, might become before a parole board of people with maybe law enforcement backgrounds or prosecutorial backgrounds in 1 month, and your bunkmate might come up before a parole board the next month with the panel consisting maybe a social worker or non-law enforcement backgrounds. So there's a real confusion. You could have situations, again, obviously nothing is identical, but you could have people who are incarcerated who have committed very similar crimes, have very similar records within the correctional system, have a very similar release plan, and one could be denied and one could be granted release. It's a very arbitrary, at least on the surface, system that really defies explanation. In New York, there are three general factors that a parole board is required to consider by law. First off, would release at this particular time be incompatible with the welfare of society? The second criteria, is there a reasonable probability that if the person were released at this time, that they would remain at liberty without violating the law? And then the final one, would release at this time so deprecate the nature of the offense as to undermine respect for the law? These are incredibly vague criteria and can be interpreted in many different ways by sitting parole panels.
Beth, would you say that the deliberations in parole often or largely amount to a kind of have you been punished enough sort of discussion?
That's almost always one of the elements of the conversation. But a lot of people I spoke to in my reporting raised the question, the judge knew what the offense was when he or she sentenced this person however many decades ago. And even knowing that offense, they were sentenced to a sentence that made them parole eligible after a certain amount of time. So you would think that the seriousness of the offense is already built into the sentence that they received. Why should then the parole board again consider the same crime when the judge already knew that?
What are the qualifications to be on a parole board in New York, and what have you found around the country?
A New York college degree, basically a law enforcement type background or social sciences type background, and commensurate work experience. And then you have to be nominated by the governor and confirmed by the state senate. So there's indeed a political aspect to the job of parole board.
And nationally?
Nationally, the requirements to be a parole board member are very spotty from one state to the next. Some states, like New York, have pretty good, you know, basic requirements. Other states have zero basic requirements. Or if they do have requirements, they're sort of advisory in nature. They'll say a parole board member should have X number of years of experience. Or the fields that they dictate that the person should have experience in are vague and broad, like education or medicine. I saw a number of parole board members around the country who say were a high school English teacher, where they fit those minimum requirements. But, you know, one could ask, how is that person well positioned to understand the complexities of criminal behavior, of risk assessments, of what the different disciplinary proceedings mean within prison, all the things that you need to know to make good decisions?
What about the volume? How many cases are these boards seeing, and how extensive are the deliberations?
Well, New York is at an interesting crossroads because over the last decade and a half, New York has moved from an indeterminate sentence where you'd have a minimum and a maximum, and you would first see a parole board at the minimum, to a more determinate sentencing structure where if you were sentenced to, say, 20 years, you would serve your 20 years minus generally 15% for good behavior. The interesting thing about that is that you could have people who've committed the same crimes where some person in a determinate sentence would be incarcerated and released. Another person is sentenced under an indeterminate sentencing structure requiring him or her to see a parole board, and they're still incarcerated because they've been denied frequently by multiple parole boards. So here's a 7-minute interview maybe for somebody who's been incarcerated for 25 years. Is that right? Is that fair? So it's again, it's kind of a system that doesn't make any sense. And people just keep scratching their heads, both inside and outside. Is the system broken? Does it make any sense these days?
Beth Schwartzappel, a staff writer at the Marshall Project, and Tom Grant is a former New York State Parole Board member from 2004 to 2010. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thanks
for having us.
Appreciate it.
Great.